Good morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of Crossroads, where faith and culture meet. I'm joined in the studio this morning by my co-host Dean Welty and our special guest for today's program, Lisa Updike. Lisa is the Director of Children's Ministry at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Harrisonburg, and we invited her to be with us this morning for our third and final installment in this series of programs on parenting at the crossroads. Psalm 127, 3 through 4 says this: "Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands." So while most of our Crossroads programs talk about the intersection of our faith with government or public policy issues, Dean and I wanted to do this series because we know that every day, every parent is called to prepare his or her children for the crossroads between faith and the broader culture. So for this final installment in the parenting series, we thought it would be appropriate, in light of the season, to discuss how we keep Christ in Christmas in the midst of a secular, materialistic culture. And there's no one better to do that, in my opinion, than Lisa Updike. I will never forget one Sunday morning years ago when I was helping with children's church, watching Lisa tell all these kids that they must never allow their feelings to control them. And you all who listen to the program hear me bring that up a lot. But Lisa said to those kids, "Sometimes you have to examine your feelings, look at them, and then say, 'You are just a feeling. You are not truth. Here is what God's word says about this, and that is what I will follow.'" And she gave some example to make it very practical for the kids. And I just watched in wonder as Lisa gave all those kids a precious gift with those simple words that conveyed such profound theology. You have a gift, Lisa. Welcome to the program today.
Thank you so much.
Well, Rita, that's a great introduction, and it really, I think, lays out what this program today is all about. Because, yes, it is about Christmas. It is raising our children in the love and fear of the Lord, but it is also our responsibility as parents, a loving father and a loving mother, to set that tone, to set that model for a child's walk with God. So, Lisa, let's start on that note. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and about your family?
Sure. I was so blessed to be raised in a Christian home, then married a godly husband, and for 27 years we've been married, and what a joy to watch my husband grow in the Lord and to challenge and encourage me as well, like we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And then we have four children together, three of whom came to our family through adoption. And then we had a surprise homemade baby. So so our family also, with the adoptions, we are an interracial family. So we've had a lot of adventures going over those grounds, but it's been a blessing.
Lisa, I know many of our listeners probably know your parents, especially your father, Jack Richardson, who is involved in the community in so many wonderful ways. But now we've talked about parenting in the family. Let's get to Christmas now. What are some of your favorite memories of Christmas as a child?
You know, as I was thinking about this, I don't necessarily have one favorite memory. It's more the things that were traditions that were gone over year after year. So, you know, setting up the manger scene with mommy and daddy, and as mom would recount the Christmas story as we did that, every morning on Christmas morning, we read the scripture, read the Christmas story from Luke before we opened our Christmas presents. Every year kind of things that I remember most.
Now, do you still do that with your family?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We get up in the morning. We get dressed nicely. We don't do the pajama thing.
Oh, okay.
We dress to honor the Lord. And then we read scripture as the starting of our morning to focus us and pray giving thanks to the Lord for all he's done.
Would that be the story from the second chapter of Luke?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
The babe in the manger.
Yeah.
All right.
That's great, Lisa. We always did that in my family as I was growing up too. And so now we do that with our kids. And I think it's so important that that is what comes first.
Yes.
That
yes.
is what the focus is. But let's dive into the meat of our topic now. We've talked a lot on the past two programs in this series about messaging and how the messages that our culture promotes are frequently in conflict with the truths of Scripture. That, of course, makes our job as parents and grandparents quite challenging. So when it comes to Christmas, what do you think are the predominant messages that our culture is promoting to our kids?
When I was thinking about this question, at first, I want to say it's a selfish message, but I think in the past few years, we've actually done pretty well as a culture to concentrate on giving. Mm-hmm. However, it's still about stuff. Mm-hmm. It's still materialistic. We want to make others happy because we get them a certain product, or I'll be happy if I have that certain product. And the problem with that is that toys will break. Your clothes will get stained, even if it's the most fashionable thing. Your iPhone is out of date in 3 months. And so nothing will ever satisfy like Jesus. So that's my concern for our kids with that.
Then Lisa, when you talk about that emphasis on giving and receiving, that's where the emphasis is, isn't it? So what do you think the effect of all this cultural message is as far as how our children think about Christmas itself?
I think there's an entitlement. We say every child deserves a Christmas present. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I love Christmas presents, and if you'd like to give me one, I'd be very happy. But I think we convey to our child that they are entitled to these things, mm-hmm. rather than it is a grace, it is a kindness, it's an act of love. We want to train our children to receive even that as a glory to God, mm-hmm. with a thankful heart. And we see entitlement all across our culture. I think it's very difficult for children not to have that sense. But you know, it used to be even Santa Claus would only give you things if you were good. Mm-hmm. Now you read the t-shirts at Walmart, and the t-shirts say things like, "I've been good enough, Santa."
Whoa.
You
oh,
know,
dear.
Those kind of things. Well, the truth is, none of us are good enough, and anything we receive is mercy and kindness extended to us.
I think it's so easy for our kids, especially because their friendships, you know, their friends are so important to them, and they see their friends having things that they may or may not have, and it's easy for them to conclude that because their friends have this certain thing, they need it,
yes.
quote unquote. And I was just reading the other day a devotional by Paul Tripp, whom we've talked about on the program recently, where he talks about how important it is that you only identify things as needs that are actually needs. And so I think it's important as parents for us to be very careful when we see our kids starting to identify things as needs that are actually completely superfluous to their life
yes.
and existence.
Yes.
You know, Rita, there's a scripture for everything. And the one that pops in my mind right now regarding what you just said is, compare yourselves not amongst yourselves, for those who do so are not wise.
Yeah.
And another scripture too, whatsoever state you find yourself in, therein learn to be content.
Yes.
And I was just wondering, you know, we talked on earlier programs about some of our children get so addicted to technology, to our iPhones, to internet. And I just wonder what would happen is, you're not getting any gifts this Christmas. We're just going to give gifts this year. I wonder how that would work as an experiment in Christmas.
That would be an interesting experiment. I think my children would not be happy with that experiment.
Is that right? Yeah. Yeah.
You know, this conversation reminds me of something. Has either of you seen the YouTube videos called First World Problems? Are you familiar with those?
Yes.
Oh, those are great. You know, these characters in the videos say things like they're completely despondent, and you know they're acting as if they're destitute because of problems such as the new iPhone doesn't fit into the pocket of their new skinny jeans.
Yes.
And the point of the whole thing is that these are first world problems. These are would only be identified as problems by people who are so wealthy and enjoy so many blessings and privileges already.
Oh, I have a perfect answer for that.
Okay.
We'll get you some baggy jeans. How's that?
All right. Well, moving right along. Lisa, what are some of the things that we can do as Christian parents to keep Christ as the essential focus during Christmas?
I love that question.
Yes.
I knew you would.
Yes, I love using traditions as a way to point your children to Christ. So, for instance, even Christmas lights, what is Jesus but the light of the world? So as you're putting up your Christmas lights, reflect on the truth that Jesus is the light of the world. In fact, God himself put a Christmas star up in the sky to announce the birth of his son. So we drive around the neighborhoods and we talk about even those who don't know Jesus have a sense that light comes with Christmas, and tell our children those things. Making gingerbread cookies, you're making the same, you're cutting out the same, and you can talk about God created each person in his image. All these cookies are the same in that they bear the image of the cookie cutter.
Yes, and that is great.
Yes, each is decorated uniquely as God has given us unique gifts. And I even joke, you know, if we drop one, we go, well, there's the fall. You know, the fall broke that perfect representation. So just simple things like that. I think even more importantly, this season of Advent is an opportunity for daddies who want to lead their family in family worship, but maybe are just overwhelmed. It's a heavy responsibility to lead your family and to instruct them. And I think sometimes daddies don't know where to begin. But most families, especially with little children, have Advent calendars. Mm-hmm. So after dinner, let them open their little door, but read a scripture, reflect on something, memorize a scripture as a family. Just, we'll say, tonight we do, for unto us a child is born. Next night, unto us a son is given. Let's do the two lines together. Daddies, you can do this, and then pray for your family at the end of that time. Simple little things that then Advent is done. Well, you're in the habit of after dinner, let's pray together. Let's hear by children's high point and low point and bring them to the Lord.
I love that. Yeah. You know, there are so many great resources out there, too, to help parents in this. I know one thing that Covenant Presbyterian Church does, which I love, is they put out this booklet of, I don't remember what it's called, but it's a scripture reading along with a hymn or a carol and then a reflection by one of our church leaders for every day of Advent. And nothing could be easier than sitting down with our kids, and I don't even have to think of some grandiose idea. The material is there, and even just the act of talking through the words of some of these great Christmas carols can be so rich and filled with meaning for the kids. So I know there are lots of resources out there like that. Dean, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I'd like to mention a couple other opportunities that I think are just tailor-made for families to do in honoring Christ during this time. And one is the Salvation Army, ringing those bells together at the Red Kettle. We were at a market the other day, and a mother was there with her 10, 12-year-old son, ringing the bells together. That is a terrific opportunity for them to see the gift of giving as people come and put their money into the Red Kettle. And you can go, you can just call Salvation Army here in town or go on their website and find out how you too can volunteer and take your children along. Another idea, you talked about Christmas carols. Go to retirement homes and take your family or your home group and sing to the shut-ins, to those who are ill. We did that last Sunday, and it was just a blessed time to sing to the seniors there in those communities. And finally, many of us know about a shoebox for Operation Christmas Child. That's from Samaritan's Purse, or the Angel Tree Ministry from Prison Fellowship, or again, the Salvation Army. Just ways that our family can collectively give to our community.
Yes, and I'd like to add to that, too. Yes. It's not just at the Christmas season then, so you've given a box to some child. Pray for them all year long.
Yes.
Put something up on your refrigerator. Yes. All year long, you're praying for that child. We even got a letter back one year from a little girl, and that was really exciting. So we have her picture up, and we still pray for her. And as you're packing, pray that the Lord would show you what to purchase, because we don't want to just have it a surface giving. We want our children giving from their hearts. Yeah. And what a great lesson in just being still and listening to the Holy Spirit and being guided in our giving.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like filling the shoebox, take your children along. Help them pick out the materials that go into that shoebox. Well, Lisa, I think all of these are great ideas. But it's still, it sort of flirts around the edges of the basic question that some of our listeners could be asking. Why is it so important for our children to be focused on Christ at Christmas? Why can't we just have a good time?
Because it's not about us. In fact, all of life is not about us. We were created for God's glory. And Christ coming to earth is the pivotal moment in all of history. Before his birth, all creation was groaning for him to come. Now that he has come, all creation is looking at that moment that he's come. You know, there's a scripture that we were created for God's pleasure. Yes. I can remember thinking as a child, really? For his pleasure? I thought it was for my pleasure that I was created. And we do that in our society. We shape all things for our pleasure. We get done with our work so that we can have fun. Rather than saying, this work is part of the glory of God. Yes. My fun is for the glory of God. So this pivotal moment in history doesn't just affect why Christ needs to be central to Christmas. He's central to all of life. Yes. As he's central to all of life, we can't help but celebrate Christmas for his glory.
You know, if I can just inject this, Rita, you talked about this pivotal moment in history. Just want to let our listeners know that the subject of next week's program is, what if Jesus had never been born?
Oh, no.
That's the reaction.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I just get excited about the Christmas story anyway. But just imagine that the barrier at that moment between heaven and earth was broken. It was the skies were ripped open and an angel came announcing to the shepherds. But I often think, you know, then the sky was filled with angels. I wonder if all those other angels were like, God, please let us go. We want to be part of this moment.
Yeah.
And they ripped through the skies and began to sing his praises. And all of creation at that moment was focused on the gift that God had given. And not just that there'd be peace among man, but that there'd be peace between man and God.
You know, I love how your words and your tone and your manner brings life to that story, to the words of Scripture. And I was thinking a few minutes ago, I think that's something else that's really important. I grew up in a Christian home too, and I know for me, after I've heard the same passage of Scripture 300 times, it can sort of just become words that I don't really reflect about. And so I think it's important when we read these Scriptures with our kids to help them really think about what's happening. And one of the ways I sometimes will do that is by just stopping and asking question, how do you think the shepherds felt?
Yes.
What do you think that was like for them? Can you imagine the star, the angels in the sky? Can you imagine how scary it would have been? You know, to help them really put themselves in that place and bring the words alive to them. And The other thing I wanted to say is that I just really believe that anything we can do as parents to help negotiate this connection or facilitate this mm-hmm. connection between our kids and their Heavenly Father yes. is really the greatest gift that we can give our kids.
Yes.
It's far better than anything we can buy for them and wrap. And I remember when I graduated from high school, my dad wrote me this beautiful card, you know, that he gave with my graduation gift, and I actually keep it framed in my office, the inside of the card, because what he wrote has just stayed with me throughout my life, and it was such a gift. He said, "Rita, throughout everything that comes to you in life, cling to the Lord, because no one is bigger than God and no one loves you as much." And for me to read those words from my father, who, you know, I couldn't think of anyone other than my father and my mother who love me with this undying, committed, devoted love. So for him to say, "No one," and the implication was, even myself included, yes. "no one can love you more than God," was just a wow moment in my life. And it has been such a gift. Dean?
I really don't have much to add to that, except it is so easy for us to keep Jesus in the manger.
Yeah.
That.
Oh, I've got a great thing.
Okay.
When my children were littler, would break a branch off of the Christmas tree that we would save all the way till Easter, and then we would turn it into a
exactly.
cross.
Exactly.
To help
oh,
them remember.
I mean, love that. Yeah. Never heard that idea.
And he was born to die. Yeah. You know, we have our children, they're born, and we imagine the things they could become. Mary had to look at her son, and he came for the sole purpose of dying on our behalf. So I want my children to know that baby Jesus is the same Jesus as the Jesus on the cross. You know, I think kids get
yes.
that confused, and to say, yes, this is all part of the same story.
Well, and Lisa, I know music is so important to you, but as children, these Christmas songs just stay with you for your whole life. And one song in particular reflects what you just said. And I love this connection between the birth and the cross, because without the cross, the birth would have been without meaning.
Right.
But the song, and you can go ahead and sing it right now.
Oh, no.
But it carries a message from John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only son to die on Calvary's tree from sin to set me free."
That was the purpose.
That was the whole purpose of giving his son to us, to die on Calvary's tree from sin to set us free.
Lisa, I wonder, as we're preparing to wrap up, do you have any other advice for parents out there who are just struggling in the midst of our culture to raise their children well, and maybe not even necessarily related to Christmas, but just general words of wisdom you would offer them?
It's a worthy struggle. It is a worthy struggle. It is also an impossible task. So parents who are trying to do this on their own, it's impossible. We must have Jesus, and we're not trying to have children that reflect our goodness or children that obey so that we can be called those great parents.
Yes. We're not?
No. We are called to teach Jesus to our children, and you cannot do that on your own. You must be plugged into a church. You must be vulnerable with other parents. Don't try to hide the fact that you lose your temper towards your children. Be open and cry out to others to pray with you. And if somebody comes to you and says they're failing in this area of parenthood, do not say to them, "Oh, we all do that." Say to them, "You're right, sister, you're right, brother. That is a failure. Let me pray for you in that." Rather than make excuses for one another. Yes, we're all failing.
Yes.
We all fall
yes.
short. And yet we have a gracious God who redeems that. So let's go to him. Let's encourage one another to go to him. And do not worry about what your children look like in public. Instead, parent them for the glory of God.
That is challenging, and I think it's spot on. And, you know, I was reflecting recently as I was listening to others speak in a parenting Sunday school class at our church. It's a beautiful thing to be able to raise your kids in a community of believers. And part of the reason it's so beautiful, as you said, is because we can go to others and get help. But another reason it's beautiful is because there are all these other people who love my kids,
yes,
and who are invested in them and truly care about them. And, you know, there are people sometimes... my daughter won't hear something from me for whatever reason. I hope I'm not
why.
The only mom. But I have these friends who have known her since she was a baby, and she loves them, and she's been in their home, and she's comfortable with them, and she can spend time with them, and they can speak truth to her, and she will hear it,
yes,
in a different way. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, that's the body. That's the body of Christ at work.
Yeah. Well, as we prepare to wrap up, Lisa, for folks who want to get plugged in to a church community and be able to experience all that, can you tell us how they can get plugged in to Covenant Presbyterian Church? Not because it's the only one, but because it's the one that we know.
Yes, and we'd love to have you come. You just come is the first thing. Don't make excuses and sleep in and go to bedside Baptist. Get up. Wake up. And go to church. Daddies, take your children to church. Mommies, support your husband in his choice of a church. So you just need to go and then go to the Sunday school hour. Go to small groups where you're known. Don't just go to a service and disappear, because you have to be known
for
the body to do its work.
Yep.
You know, it reminds me, Lisa, of a sign that is on a gym that we often go to. Showing up is half the battle.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
This has been a tremendous gift to us, and I just really appreciate it. So, again, our guest has been Lisa Updike, Director of Children's Ministries at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Harrisonburg. And for those of you who are listening today, if you're not part of a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, please make that decision today to find one. And also, every child, as we've said, needs a loving father and a loving mother. So feed your marriage every day, and
Amen.
You will see your child grow in their love for you, for God, and for each other. Well, that concludes our series of programs. Rita, thanks for thinking of this on parenting, the age of opportunity. If you would like to listen to this program again or share it with your friends, go to our website, valleyfamilyforum.org, and click on the link to Crossroads on the homepage. We want to thank our wonderful sponsors at Blue Ridge Chimney Services, Dunaway Dentistries, and also to many of you individually for your prayers, your encouragement, and your generous support. If you would like to make a tax-deductible donation, you can do so by check to Crossroads at P.O. Box 881, Harrisonburg, 22803. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dean Welty with Rita Dunaway and our fabulous engineer, Robbie Meadows, inviting you to join us again next week for our final program of the year entitled, What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? Until then, have a great week, putting your faith into action at the crossroads where faith and culture meet.
Oh, rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
Rejoice. Rejoice.